Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Started to believe I'd never find anyone. Doubt to try to convince me to give in. Said you can't win. But one day the sun came shining through. The rain had stopped. And the skies were blue. And oh, what a revelation to see. Someone was saying, I loved you to me. Oh, then I found a piece of happiness to call my own. And life is worth living again. For to love you to me is to live. Oh, compassion and send to me a stroke of love, call you a one in a million you.
Tuned into the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love. Christ. Salam alaikum! For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere, bar none, on the face of God's green earth. This is your platform for black education, black liberation, black edification, and black empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled Provocations and Political Gloom in a World on Fire and Going Up in Smoke, Part 2. Before we go into the show, I know some of you are listening and you hear me laboring. When I came home from martial arts class late last night, we had a late session. I sat around. I noticed all day long I was getting an itch in the back of my throat, and my ear was bothering me a little bit. And I think it's just the pollen in the air or whatever, or the change in weather, how the pressure and the weather changed because we just got hit by a hurricane. And so my voice, I lost my voice. It wasn't, maybe an hour after I got back. So I've been laboring all morning long, gargling with mouthwashing with salt water and sucking on lemons and all that stuff so that we wouldn't have to cancel the show. So if you hear raspiness or you hear me laboring to talk to you, brothers and sisters, it's because I didn't want to delay this show. I didn't want to put off the show. And even if I lose my voice after the show, it is what it is. But we got to stay on post. So again, my beloved family, I have to say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum. Now, if there's something very important that's going on, we're going to do a continuation of the last show. Because you see America in meltdown. As we were explaining to you, she's lashing out at everybody. She can't help it because this is what was prophesied to happen. Some of you, when you look at this thing, and Brother Rashid and I have talked about this, and I think Brother Rashid and Gerald and I have talked about this on several occasions. This devil, when you're looking at his condition, when you're looking at what's going on, some of you are looking at it out of context. You're not adding the theology to it. You're not adding the prophecy to it. That's why so many people, they're giving you analysis, their analysis, and they have certain things that are right, but they miss the point because they don't have the wisdom of God with that. See, they believe that America's going to bounce back, some of them. They're wishful thinking. Most of them know that she's not bouncing back. But they have hopes and dreams and aspirations of America bouncing back. They have hopes and dreams of the white world maintaining its dominant position over the globe, that they're going to be able to continue to colonize and exploit every living being on the face of the planet. If it was not so, then why would they constantly support their military endeavors around the globe? Why would, no matter what goes on, have you ever noticed, no matter what goes on, America is always right. She's in South Korea. North Korea's the aggressor. She's in Japan. China's the aggressor. She's in Afghanistan. The people who are there in Afghanistan, who live there, are the aggressor. She's in Pakistan, bombing citizens. But the Pakistanis are committing terrorist acts. She's all over Africa. But the African people who are fighting against her, they're the terrorists. If you look down to South and Central America, the same goes there. Even in her own continent of Europe, the same goes there. And with the police brutality with America's own borders. And when you fight back, you stand up or you protest, you're ungrateful, you're un-American, you're a terrorist. This is the mindset of the Caucasian. To talk on that situation and to show you how confused and how mad these people are, So corporations exploit. They don't care the hit they take from a few people if they can exploit it for the masses, the same as the government, right? Look at what's going on around the world. America has her stamp, her foot, her clutches, her tentacles, and every place on earth, and she's justified. Think about it. Our brothers and sisters, I stop sometimes when I'm talking to you because I don't think a lot of you get the depths of what I'm talking about. But it's common sense. It's come in the South China Sea, China is the aggressor, according to her, right? In the Strait of Hormuz, Iran, even though that's their waterway, Iran is the aggressor. America is never the aggressor. She's always defending freedom, democracy. And she's always in somebody else's house, in somebody else's neighborhood, demanding that they do and live and act and govern as she says. But it's for noble and grand reasons. This is madness. This is a sign of a sociopathic, psychotic nation. Right? And when things don't go my way, I lash out at you. So, this is a symptom. Listen to me good. This is a symptom of intrinsic moral and ethical collapse. Now, this is going on alongside a political collapse globally, and an economic collapse. Do you not see what's going on in America? I was in the stores when I was leaving. I think it was 2 days ago. I was in Walmart, and I try my best to stay out of Walmart, but I have to go there for certain things. And I had just gotten out of practice. I think it was late at night. We were having a night session. And my daughter and my son, we were riding, and I stopped in Walmart. And I was shocked by it. 2 weeks ago, the prices were so different. They were so different. And things, it seemed like they were adding $1 or $2 to everything. I had sticker price shop, you see? And half of the shelves, even at night, were empty. This is a symptom that's going on throughout America. She's trying to mask the inflation that's coming home. She's trying to mask the shortfall in her goods in her stores. She's trying to mask this. But sooner or later, she will not be able to mask this. And so she's lashing out. You remember on the last show, I played a clip where Trump was sanctioning China, or Trump was doing this with China, and it was starting to hurt America's own workers. And matter of fact, I got articles on my website speaking of this very thing. How this, and I told you this was going to happen, how this boomerang effect, this is what Allah has set in motion now. See, there was a time 20, 30, and 40 years ago that America, she could sanction the people, and there would be no ramifications, or a little ramifications and repercussions to the empire. But she didn't know using the sanction war against people, depriving them of what, by international law, they were supposed to be able to get, suffocating their economies, causing global upheavals in nations, overthrow of governments. She thought that she could get on forever in perpetuity with this. And now, 40 years later, you see that she has eroded her base, that dollar base that she had without question. And she's now suffering the repercussions of it. So as she sanctions a nation, another nation goes out and makes a currency deal with another nation. Or a bilateral swap agreement where they just outright X the dollar in all transactions. She sanctions a nation. And then they go closer to another nation that's the enemy of America. This is prophecy. This is not outside of the line of prophecy. And so, with her madness, and remember, I told you, I'm laboring with a lost voice. So, anyway, with her, excuse me, madness of trying to dominate and continue to have dominion over the nation, she's alienating the nation. This, when you look at it like that, you can definitely see why Messenger Elijah Muhammad had told you decades ago that America would suffer isolation from the nations of the earth. Her friends and enemies alike would look to isolate her because of her arrogance and her hubris. Now you're seeing it, and you're seeing it clear because you have this madman in. And some of you, well, Trump needs to go. I hear a lot of these Muslims, they're so involved in the political system of America that they don't even know that they are so intertwined with it that they are dooming themselves. They want to look knowledgeable, and they want to look acceptable to the masses. And so they intertwine themselves with a political system in a nation that is not only in decline and demise, but it's being destroyed by Almighty God alone. They don't even see it. You understand? They have good intentions, but they keep going down that street, and it's foggy. They don't have clear vision, and they don't see that it's a stop sign at the end of the road. So even though they have good heart, and they're racing towards their home, they're ignoring the stop sign, and there's a Big Mac truck coming, and they can kill themselves. They can get themselves killed because they don't understand the time. If, brothers and sisters, I can say this, and I can say this again. Mama says we are never off the subject of the time because we must know about the time and what must come in this time and what must be done in this time. See, if you have that thought in your head, if you have that mindset, and you have that structure in your heart, you can clearly see things before, during, and after they unfold when it is cloudy and foggy to the minds of others. But, again, God has smitten America with madness, with delusion, with political divide, with turmoil. Why? Because he wanted the world to see America shame. Remember, the Bible says that great whore, Allah had lifted up her skirt for the entire world to see. Even those who had fornicated with the great harlot. See? And now the world is starting to alienate America. America's policies are alienating these countries. And it's a blowback effect. And again, let's go use China as a measurement stick for a minute. Here's a nation that has the largest savings in the world. Now you can hear all these pundits talk about, well, China's debt cycle will collapse the system. Well, China's, this is what a person does when they have deficiencies. A lot of deficiencies, moral, ethical, economic, and political deficiencies. They try to transpose their deficiencies on other people. China may have debt, true. May have billions, maybe even have a trillion in debt or more. But as Jim Rogers says, America is not only has the greatest debt of nations. She has the greatest debt of any nation in the history of the world. Listen to me good. And then he did an analysis on this. He says, America's debt crisis and situation is greater than all, not most, not some, not a few, but greater than all of the nations before her. So when they point to China, they gotta do a boomerang effect and look at themselves. Don't you see the infrastructure collapsing all across America? These storms that you see, this is also in play, and it's to inundate America with not only disease, with not only sickness, with not only fear, fright, and panic, but it is also to uproot and undermine the remaining infrastructure and to cause massive damage so that America has to take more money to compensate for the damage that these storms, that all of this is going on. She has to use all of this to compensate for the storms, damage, for the loss of lives, for the everything, the medical treatment, for the housing, for all of this stuff. Think about that. So this goes hand in hand with the nations rejecting America's dollar. Think about if for a long time, you've had the currency of the world. You've had the currency of the world. You've been able to export inflation. You've been able to manipulate gold and silver prices. You've been able to manipulate other nations' economies. You've been able to put a stranglehold on the livelihood of not just small but great nations. You see, even she's trying to do that with Russia, her peer, her military peer. And you know madness is in her when you try to sanction the very nation that produces 93% of all of your military needs. All your microchips come from China. All your boots, your military boots, your combat boots, your fatigues, all of the stuff that you have on your military base, that come from China. 93% of all things in the store, especially in Walmart, come from China. You are in debt, and there's another report that just came out today about America's trade deficit. I told you they have to revise that stuff. I told you on the last show. They have to revise that stuff after a few months. They lie to you, and, oh, we have great numbers. We're in a surplus. And then a month later, when you forget about it, they just drop it on back page, talking about, well, after the revised numbers, America has another great trade deficit. Now, how in the hell can you go from hundreds of billions of dollars in a so-called trade surplus to having the largest trade deficit in recent memory? Somebody saw that long ago that when they were finagling the numbers. This ain't just come out of nowhere. They are corrupt to the core. And they keep pumping this helium in you because they want you to believe in their pipe dreams. But sooner or later, as the balloon expands to its maximum capacity, if they keep pumping it in, boom, goes the dynamite. Right? This is what you're looking at in America. And I have not lost my thought. China may have debt. China may have problems, right? But one thing, China has over $3 trillion in reserves. She has thousands of tons of gold, thousands of tons of silver, right? She's bought up all kinds of assets across the globe because she's been plotting and planning for this day, for this day. Because she knows how wicked America is, and her destiny, most of you don't understand this, her destiny, according to Messenger Elijah Muhammad, is to chase down this American white man. As this American white man chased down our red Indian brother. And now you see why she's been chased down. America's no longer number one in anything except for causing death, destruction, exporting weapons, and occupying nations that don't want her there. That's the only thing she's number one in. And being hated across the globe. She's number one. Without a doubt, she's number one in that. So, the madness that has been smitten into her mind and into her heart to sanction and to escalate a sanction war with a nation that controls your debt is madness. Do you understand this? The one that's keeping your economy afloat, you are lashing out at. That's just like you lashing out at the person that's paying for you to live in the house, pay your bills, and to keep your family's livelihood going. And then you say, you know what? I'm tired of you benefiting off helping me, so I'm going to sanction you so you can't do this, this, and this. All you have to do is cut off the money cap. You understand? But they're not, that's clear for you and I to see, but it's not so clear for them to see. Why? Because truth is not resonating in them. They still are drunk on what they used to be, the power and the influence that they used to have and used to be able to exert on the nation. Didn't Elijah Muhammad say that? This is what has America in turmoil right now, what he says. With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. Do you see what's going on across America today, huh? With the unemployment and with the racial divide. And all of these calls for Civil War 2.0, you can read it all across a white alternative media. Muhammad says, and everybody will want to divide the government up into pieces. And every leader will want to grab a piece for his part to try to muster some kind of government pattern after his own way of thinking. Isn't that what's going on now? Huh? He says, desolation. Oh, man, Elijah Muhammad hit you with that. He says, desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation, and he goes from desolation to deprivation. Deprivation is the someone depriving you of that which you once enjoyed or that which you desire or seek to have, to deprive a nation of her status as the global superpower, to deprive a nation of her status of having the world reserve currency, to deprive a nation that has always galloped around the world imposing its will and its way on other nations, is to bring a nation to its knees because they believe that they are the exceptional nation. And without that exceptionalism, reality sets in and they realize that they're nothing much than a bump on the elephant. You understand? So Muhammad says, desolation. if we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. Stop right there. What is he talking about? America's been deprived of her position globally. The white world is in decline globally, right? And so America is escalating war. There's an article came out a few days ago. We put it on the website where America says that we're going to keep causing chaos until we get what we want around the world. This is from her government. We're going to keep doing this, whether it's in Syria or anywhere. We're going to keep doing this until we get what we want. What does that sound like? That's like a spoiled baby, right? That's the mindset of the American. They see the world falling. They see that everything that they had is being ripped from them. And so they're like a spoiled little brat. I'm going to keep doing this. And see, this is what God was trying to show you, just how wicked this nation is. He is trying to show you that he is justified in removing such an arrogant power. And not only is she continuing to foment unrest at the expense of her nation, not just her empire, but the expense of the American Republic, because when the empire goes, America will truly be isolated, and there will be no helping hand for her. And boom goes the dynamite for the Republic. Because she will be destitute. Her currency will be the laughing stock of the world. This is what the Bible says when it says, is this the nation that came out and made all the, I'm paraphrasing, is this the one that made all the nations shake in fear and tremble in fear? They're talking about America. Because the nations are going to laugh. Man, we were scared of it, and she's been hollow for decades. So she's been exposed to her policies. You understand? So, he says, this makes things altogether worse. Right? Why? Because America is not just a fallen power. When Britain fell, and she latched on to her daughter or her sister, or whatever you want to call it, America, and she tied her British sterling pound to the dollar. And when the empire of the British fell or went into remission, And they imposed their will on the world through America. You know what took place? They didn't have nuclear weapons at the time. America has nuclear weapons at the time. And she's holding the world ransom. If I can't rule, I'm going to kill everybody. Isn't that what's going on? This is her scorched earth policy. She's going all the way around the world, and if a policy fails, she doesn't have the mindset to pull out. Well, that would be an embarrassment. Well, that would show failure. Well, everybody see you failed, and you embarrassed anyhow. But the mindset that I gotta double down, triple down, quadruple down on this failed policy is what is actually bankrupting the empire. But if she pulls out, she got problems at home domestically. And that's something she don't want to deal with, as Muhammad says, that bringing them soldiers home without jobs, this would be the worst headache America's ever had. Because they'll be sitting around, they've been trained to kill, and been trained to go to war, and they can't provide for their families. And so this is why America keeps playing hot potato with the troops and won't bring them home, even in a time of economic desolation. Even in a time where the people are demanding her do it. Because if she does so, it's not about whether or not somebody will attack her from overseas. It's because she knows that she will be attacked from within. Provocations and political gloom in a world on fire and going up in smoke, part two. Muhammad says, desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nation, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody, we'll be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedoms and the privileges that they used to have. What is the big issue today? They keep the freedoms that, if you go to any alternative media, they're trying to take our freedoms, right? Is that not right? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. when we used to, the dollar used to be worth this, and the fiat currency is blah, blah, blah. They were not saying these things when they were the beneficiary of those white privilege policies. But now that those policies no longer work and they are turning inwardly on the people whom they were designed to protect and uplift, now it's all about revolution and war. For 400 years, it wasn't about revolution and war when you were the brunt, when you took the brunt of the economy. But all of a sudden, a few years come by, and they take a little bit of it, and they're pulling their guns out talking about revolution 2.0. This shows you that they can dish it out, but they can't take it. You understand? So Muhammad says, and this will make anger rise up in the mist. Think about that. There's a growing cloud of anger and dissatisfaction all across America. And so I didn't really want to talk along these lines, but it came to me, so I'm going to do it. So remember at the beginning of this paragraph, Muhammad says desolation. And then he put some periods behind it as to pause for a second for you to think about the word that he is speaking. So that's what that means. When he puts that word desolation in a capital letter, he makes that a capital word at the beginning of the sentence, excuse me. And then he goes and puts some periods behind it. It's to signify a pause after him stating this. Desolation. He didn't just say, desolation, that we are going to suffer. No. He said, desolation. Then he paused. Because he wanted you to digest exactly what he's talking about. And he went from desolation. After the pause, he says, if we are going to suffer deprivation, to be deprived of the things that we once enjoyed, talking about the nation of America. And she's been deprived of her position globally, right? There's no argument to the contrary. Are we right on this, right? So why did he put desolation at the beginning of the sentence, and then he made for a pause in between? He wants you to understand the depths of what he's saying here. According to the dictionary, the word desolation means a state of complete emptiness or destruction, anguish, misery, or loneliness. This is what he's saying. He's saying this is what is coming to America. A state of nothing but complete emptiness and destruction. She will suffer anguish, misery, and loneliness. Are we not seeing that in her domestic life? Are we not seeing that in her foreign policy life? He wanted you to pause and think on the depths of what that word meant so that you can get a clear view and outlook on the landscape of American society and American politics, provocations and political gloom in a world on fire and going up in smoke. So where's the fuck of America? Okay, I'm going to this tablet real quick while I'm talking to you. Okay, I want you to pay close attention to me. I saw this last night. I didn't really read it, but I saw the headlines. Two headlines, back to back. One is from Prep for That, okay? Prep for That media outlet. This is on, I get news feeds. So this is from Prep for That news outlet. And this is the article, the headline. And I got this headline actually on my website. And it says, J.P. Morgan analysts say that economic collapse, civil unrest coming to America. That's one article. This is what it says. This is from Prep for That, so-called Prep for That, okay? See, they see the desolations that you don't see because they run the numbers. They are in the bowels, in the belly of the corrupt society. And the financial institutions. You know J.P. Morgan is crooked as the letter Z. And so when they are warning their brethren of what they see coming, all you can think about is getting your nails done, your hair done, going out to the club, getting you an outfit. When they say, it says, J.P. Morgan's head of, listen, and it's amazing because this guy's the head of derivatives and quantitative strategy. All right? You know what that is? That's that fake market that they created that has not billions, not hundreds of billions, not trillions, not tens of trillions, but have not even hundreds of trillions, but have quadrillions of dollars in debt. Well, I'm telling you, you can't even get no corruption. They're making up numbers almost to further push the debt along further generations. So he's an insider to that. And he says, J.P. Morgan's head of derivatives and quantitative strategy, Marco Kolonovic, believes that the United States is heading for a period of social unrest not seen in half a century. Stop right there. Let's go back to something. Desolations. What does desolation mean? A state of complete emptiness or destruction. Anguish, misery, or loneliness. All right? Keep that in mind. So now let's read that again. J.P. Morgan's head of derivatives and quantitative strategy, Marco Kolonovic, believes that the United States is heading for a period of social unrest not seen in half a century. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedoms that they used to have. And this will make anger rise up in the midst. Huh? Is J.P. Morgan telling you what Elijah Muhammad told you? Y'all know it's the truth. It's so easy to prove Elijah Muhammad. I know some of you just don't like it. But you can't do nothing with it. So let's go further. Kolonovic, who has a PhD in theoretical physics, believes that we are heading towards the great liquidity crisis. He believes that the foundation of his prediction is the growing network of computer trading algorithms, which he believes will force dramatic drops in stock prices. Kolonovic sent a 168-page report to his J.P. Morgan's clients. He didn't send it to the urban areas, right? He didn't send it to the hood. He sent it to his clients, the beneficiary of the corrupt politics and financial institutions. This is what he did. He was warning his brethren of what he sees coming. He wasn't warning the so-called Negro. He wants you to act like a fool so you can be doomed. So he says, Kolonovic sent a 168-page, not one, but 168. You know that takes a lot of time to put together 168 pages, especially on derivatives and quantitative easing and the ramifications of these policies. To his J.P. Morgan clients that included near 50 financial analysts and economists' perspectives. Now, he went and got the perspectives of not only himself, but his brethren and his peers in his job profession. And he put together 168 pages. And it says, Kolonovic is, in layman's terms, talking about computer algorithms that now dominate trading sectors. The algorithms can short stock and sell off in short order based on a series of learned triggers. These computer-driven trading models have already impacted the bottom lines of traders, traditional traders. Flash crashes, as Kolonovic terms them, are becoming more and more part of our trading dynamic. Right? They are very rapid, sharp declines in asset values, and sharp increase in market volatility. Kolonovic, the bank's global head of macro, quantitative, and derivatives research, said in a recent interview. But those flash crashes occurred during a backdrop of a U.S. economic expansion. The new market hasn't been tested in the throes of recession, he says. If you have these liquidity-driven sharp sell-offs that come at the end of the cycle, or maybe even causes the end of the cycle, then I think you can have a much more significant asset price correction, and even more significant increase in market volatility. You know what he's saying to you in layman's terms? He's saying America is keeping her system afloat by using computers to manipulate the market. And sooner or later, this will hit head-on with the reality of the market, and it will cause a drastic drop, meaning not a recession, but a depression. Because a recession does not bring about a revolution. But a depression will bring about a revolution. This is what this man is telling you. Right? And he put this dossier together for his brethren and his clients. And he even used his peers so that he can justify what he's saying to them. And all the while you thinking about the football game. All the while you thinking about the next sporting event. And this man is telling his peers to prepare. We're going to have desolations coming on us. And it will be riots. It will be revolution. Right? And he's, man, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, just read the headline of it. J.P. Morgan Quant warns economic collapse, civil unrest is coming to America. Right? Muhammad says, and this will make anger rise up in the midst. And then Muhammad tries to, he's talking to you. So he's trying to reason with your sense of righteousness, with your sense of duty to not only the security of your own life, but the security of your loved ones' lives. He says, what I'm trying to show you, I ain't just trying to tell it to you. I'm trying to paint the picture so that you can get an in-depth understanding of what to expect. What I am trying to show you is that the prophet Daniel cannot be wrong. Because this desolation that is determined to be poured on the most desolate is aimed at the place in which we now live. And just remember, because a lot of you got these short memories, and I know you like to forget, especially things that may not be palatable to you. And just remember that you cannot expect paradise here when such condition of desolation is headed toward America. What condition? J.P. Morgan Quant warns economic collapse, civil unrest is coming to America. He says, and since we cannot make prophets' words other than the truth, we expect this desolation, and we are receiving this desolation now. This is what they're warning their people of. I ain't making this stuff up. I'm reading it to you. I'm telling you what Elijah Muhammad said 40 years ago. And I'm telling you what the devil is saying right here in the time of the folding up. When one world goes out and another one comes in. See, because this old world that is now on the cusp of failure and collapse, it dies out. It has 6,000 years to endure. And because everything in that world that was the pillar of that world was the antithesis to the aboriginal way, it must be removed. It cannot endure because it is unnatural. Listen to me good, and this is something that you have to understand. Not only is the system unnatural, but the system came through unnatural thoughts from an unnatural people. I'm serious. I'm not making this stuff up. And I ask you to calculate on what I'm saying. Do a mathematical and scientific calculation on what I'm saying. These people appeared 6,000, maybe some people say 6,600 years ago. And from that point on, we've had bloodshed unlike any other in the history of man. We've had greed and materialism explode across the globe, right? Occupation and war everywhere. So this shows you that these people who have propagated a system like this, it shows you that their thoughts are unnatural, and they too are unnatural because prior to that, there was no periods like that. Okay? And remember in science, if you have a natural element, organism, or thing, and it comes in contact with a fabricated or altered or unnatural substance, it must remove the unnatural or both die. You understand? So these unnatural things, and they'll tell you market correction. We're due for a market correction. That means the market is wrong. If the market needs to be corrected, then the market is wrong. And who propagates the wrong market? It's the people who have benefited from the market, right? And if the market is wrong. The market ain't just come out of the blue. They didn't just put a seed down in the ground and put water on it and it blossomed up. That came out of the minds of people. And to maintain that market comes out of the bloodshed of other people. Right? So if the market needs to be corrected, the thought of those people who propagated and maintained that market must be corrected. And the only way that they can be corrected is the removal of them and their system. That's why you hear about meltdown. That's why you hear about crashing. That's why you hear about civil unrest. That's why you hear them even openly tell you that we're in a change of worlds. They'll tell you that we are in a global economic reset, right? That's to start anew, to begin again, to start from zero, according to the definition. Brothers and sisters, I know, as Muhammad says, and our Savior has right, they say, Elijah, Muhammad, why do you give so much definition? Well, I'm following in the footsteps of my leader, teaching God. And that's what I try to do. I try to give you an in-depth understanding and not to leave this stuff to the surface dwellers. Because anybody can speak on what's right in front of them. But you got to dive into this stuff, piece it apart, and weigh it. And then look at the circumstances and the situations and come up with a logical conclusion. Right? And these conclusions that we come to cannot be refuted. You understand? So this is from, and I didn't read the whole article. I'm just reading part of it. This is from J.P. Morgan Quant, one of their quants or whatever. Then Business Insider comes out with an article talking about the same thing. And this article came out about 4 or 5 hours ago. And in this article, it says, I hope you guys are still listening to me. My screen just went out. Okay, it's back up. And we're going to get to some clips, but I have to lay this foundation. See, I'm telling you, the time goes by so quick. And something just popped up on the screen talking about some prime offer, and I don't want none of this mess from no Business Insider. I'm just trying to get to this article. Okay, I got to read it quick or something's going to pop up. It says, J.P. Morgan has established a blueprint for the next big market crash and warns it could create the biggest social conflict in 50 years. Now, J.P. Morgan is saying these things, right? And you have Business Insider and that other website posting this stuff. You have us trying to warn you of what to come, so you won't be able to say you were caught off guard. You can say you ignored the signs, but you can't say that they didn't put it out there. This is what that devil does. I tried to warn you, but you were too involved in this and this and this over here. I tried to warn you. That's what that devil does. He puts this stuff out there so you can't say, when it's pointed to you, you can't say, he didn't tell me. Oh, yeah, he did. But he told you in a way that he knew you wouldn't take to. He told you in a way that he knew you wouldn't understand. Because you put more of your efforts into sport and play. And this is a very dangerous time for America because the entire system is on meltdown. It's on meltdown. And even while this is going on, America still threatening the nation. I want you to listen to this, okay? We'll be right back after this 3-minute clip.
You don't have to be a trade expert to grasp that a trade war that's currently dealing with $50 billion worth or tariffs on $50 billion worth of imports and exports could go to $200 billion within a matter of weeks, a serious escalation of this conflict. And that helps explain why so many business leaders and business representatives have been keen to make their point here in Washington, D.C. this week about the potential impact of taking this trade war even further.
At the end of a week of conflicting signals about the U.S.-China trade war, business owners and lobbyists spent a fifth day telling the Trump administration how another $200 billion of tariffs on Chinese imports would affect them. If they're imposed, possibly in late September, some Chinese imports, such as mandarin oranges, will be hit with duties as high as 25%.
25% is extremely high, and because of mandarin business is a very low margin, and 25% damage the business.
The Trump administration is pressuring China into changing what Washington considers unfair trade practices that threaten American jobs and the economy. China denies this.
The U.S. and China have already hit each other with duties on $50 billion worth of each other's goods. so far they've been careful to spare consumer products, but the next round of potential U.S. tariffs wouldn't.
And a new study from the U.S. National Retail Federation says consumers will pay billions of dollars more for luggage and furniture alone if these duties are imposed.
Mike, one thing that's emerged from this week of hearings and listening to these different companies give their evidence is that many of these U.S. companies particularly aren't really ideologically opposed to the idea of the U.S. standing up to China. And that may explain why Donald Trump feels so confident in pursuing this trade war when he knows that companies perhaps in his heartland, his voter heartland, feel this way. The reality is they cannot afford this trade war. Their global supply chains are so completely dominant upon China that any escalation, any increase in the price of doing business could potentially put them out of business. They're also concerned as well that if they follow through on these tariffs and make their goods more expensive, they're going to lose market share to rivals from other countries as far as Australia and New Zealand. Those are just some of the comments coming out from those hearings today and in the last 5 days.
Yeah, they've had a chance to get out there and really plead their case. But the last public hearing will take place on Monday on this latest possible tariffs, correct?
That's right. And at that point, we'll have heard from close to 400 different witnesses on these hearings. The big question is, do they help? Well, they've had previous hearings into these tariffs before those tariffs were put in place. And only a few companies, a handful of companies, were exonerated, managed to get exclusions upon their products. But remember, all of that took place while this trade war was talking. And crucially, that took place before these two sides resumed formal discussions. Even if they're very low-level discussions, they have resumed. The noises we've had from Washington and Beijing aren't particularly encouraging, but they're not averse to continuing those talks for now. And that's probably the best we can get for now. Mike.
Owen, thanks so much.
You see how America, all these threats she's throwing out, and yet she's so dependent on what China does. See, that's the stuff that gets mixed out, left out, and mixed out from your information. They'll tell you one thing, but they won't tell you the base of it. On this show, we go to the very root of things. We want you to understand why, the how, the when, the where. You understand? So that you can have, as they say, actionable intelligence in real time. So that you can truly benefit from the information that you get. You can prepare yourself thoroughly for what's coming and what's underway. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. The vindication is so sweet and it's unheard of because everything that he has said is happening. And to reject something like that means that you're a fool. To understand, if somebody lays something out, that's just like if a teacher goes to tell you, a teacher goes to the student and lays out an answer key with the written word on how to get this answer. And the student continues to tell you, I don't believe it. And the teacher is putting out all the information there that backs up how to come to this equation. And you keep saying, no, I don't care what you say. Well, I don't like what you say. I don't like the way you wrote it. 1 + 1 = 17. In my mind, 1 + 1 = 17. And if I needed to be, 1 + 1 would be 54. You make up your own rules because you don't like that. But you'll be the one to pay the cost for that. The arrogance, the foolishness. And see, America, the world around knows America. They know what she's doing. They see it. And even Lavrov, Sergey Lavrov, said America don't want peers. She want to dictate to everybody. This is what we have been saying for the longest. Matter of fact, let me find that clip real quick. I played a clip for you when Lavrov told you that this is what she's trying to do to the nation. She don't want to hear nothing from nobody. She just want to dictate. She thinks that she's the god of this world, and she's preparing herself for the war of Armageddon. You don't. What you say is inconsequential to me. I don't care. You need to do this, this, and this, or else we'll do this, this, and this. This is America. So listen to what these diplomats from other countries have to say. And remember that the foreign minister is equivalent to the Secretary of State. Remember that as you hear him say that. Okay? So listen.
Well, being the first Monday in September, that means it's the start of the new school year for many students around the world. Now here in Russia, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has been congratulating students at his alma mater, the Moscow State Institute of International Relations. Now, the potential future diplomats in the audience got some insight into Russia's foreign policy.
There is a group of countries led by the US that don't want dialogue and instead of diplomacy want to use dictate, ultimatum and blackmail.
Okay, swatting up on that session for us, correspondent Daniel Hawkins. Hi there. A new school year, but the same old problems for Russia, it seems. What else did Mr. Lavrov have to say to the students?
Yeah, it did seem that way. Congratulations to the new students from Mr. Lavrov. An update on international affairs and criticism for US-led foreign policy. That was all present in his speech and subsequent Q&A session. He was very careful to reiterate the importance of dialogue, negotiation and compromise on differing interests in international relations. Syria was one of the examples he mentioned, with an update on the province of Idlib, where he said ceasefire negotiations are still taking place, that Russia was being very careful to separate terrorists from moderate armed opposition and create humanitarian corridors for anyone wishing to leave the area. He did, however, reiterate Damascus does have the right to clear the area of armed radicals who will continue, he said, to attack Syrian army positions and the Russian airbase as well. A lot of time dedicated in his Q&A session to US, UK-Russia relations as well. He said that, as we heard in that grab, Russia doesn't recognize the illegitimate actions of the United States through pressure, threats, coercion, sanctions, etc. And he described a sad state of affairs where a Russophobic lobby within Washington is preventing an improvement in relations through talks by the two leaders. He also commented on the Skripal case and subsequent sanctions, stating that the US is, quote, doing the UK's dirty work for it by imposing these sanctions, and which he said will not be left unaddressed. Let's take a listen.
We won't leave this unaddressed. It won't necessarily be a symmetrical response. I don't think a symmetrical response is always the best method. Sanctions were imposed in terms of absolutely false statements.
Despite that, he said Russia won't fall into hysterics, as he said, and is still open to dialogue. He said nothing is irreversible, nothing is totally broken in UK-Russia relations, and these relationship had been, quote, artificially damaged by the Skripal case. He said the ball is very much in London's court, in Washington's court, for this improvement. Finally, he said that Russia's aim ultimately is peace and stability around its own borders and the resolution, as we said earlier, of crisis through diplomacy and negotiation with their partners, despite the very obvious present difficulties they face.
I wonder if any of the undergrads had any suggestions for the foreign minister. All right, for now though, Dan Hawkins, thanks for that.
So, you heard what Sergei Lavrov said. He said Washington is doing London's dirty work. Remember I told you that they were one and the same? Remember I told you that? Remember I told you Elijah Muhammad said both will suffer the same fate? Because they are both considered, according to scriptures, the daughters of Babylon, and both of them are colonizers and arrogant, and that's why you see the London Stock Exchange and the New York Stock Exchange tied together, the gold exchanges are tied together. Whenever one goes into a military adventure, you see the other one in it. You know that? Lavrov just confirmed that. The America's doing the UK's dirty work. Huh? So, but anyway, what we're trying to prove, Elijah Muhammad, and listen, and they continue, even with all this going on, and the nations are outing them, Donald Trump, think about this. I'm going to put this up there because this goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about with you all. Do you know that if America would take the military budget, the so-called, let me rephrase that, the so-called military budget of $700 and some billion, if she would take that and invest in education, healthcare, in these urban areas, do you know that America could alleviate poverty? Will she? Hell no. Does she want to? Absolutely no. She benefits off this. But she continually, it's never enough money. We need more money for war. And then the devil will lie on the same end. Well, we're decades ahead of our rivals. Well, then why the hell you need a triple increase in your budget then? If you decades ahead, then why you need $1 trillion for weapons? Huh? It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. 1 and 1 is 17. You got to believe me. This, do you see? Some of you listen to this and you don't even piece this stuff apart. And think about this. Instead of investing what she says would be $1.2 trillion, but most estimates say roughly $5 trillion. She has thousands of nuclear weapons, and she wants to invest another $1.2 officially and unofficially $5 trillion in the upgrading of nuclear weapons. I'm looking at it on my screen right now. So, because she says she wants, out of Trump's own mouth, he said, we want to have so many nuclear weapons that no one would dare threaten America's position globally. You know what he's saying? We want to have enough weaponry to hold the world ransom, that if you dare challenge the American system, we're willing to destroy everything, call a nuclear holocaust. But Elijah Muhammad said, what did he say? I'll say, Zechariah. The present world of white people have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling by shown by their preparation made for the total destruction of the human family, of the earth. So this is Donald Trump. I just read to you about the upgrade in nuclear weapons and how much it's going to cost and what Donald Trump says about what they want to do. They want to remain number one at all costs, even if it means the extinction of all life. So Muhammad says, they boast that they can destroy the present total population of our earth 30 times over, again and again. We know that they will not be able to destroy it one time, but they are preparing to do so should they be given a chance. So there's a hidden power, a hidden hand behind the scenes that won't allow for that. The earth and its water will always be cared for. But the white man is preparing. This is why, instead of him focusing on infrastructure projects, instead of him bringing his troops home and focusing within America's border, he's putting all of his eggs in the military basket, that if the God of the world slip up one time, I'm killing everybody. That is the same mindset of Jatu of 66 trillion years ago. That brown germ that was in him, we see it now in reality in that white man. This is true. All black men, there's so much science here. But all while this is going on, America continues to collapse. She's winning these trade wars and losing. Listen to this. I'm trying to get y'all some clips in.
The laborious and intricate process of assembling a huge engine at a Cummins Inc. factory. The finished product is a 95-liter engine that can power trains, stadiums, and hospitals. This plant makes just 10 of them a week. Of those, 8 are exported. But following the Trump administration's decision to impose tariffs on imports from multiple nations, those countries impose retaliatory tariffs, and companies like Cummins find themselves at the forefront of the trade dispute.
We have to be clear on what a tariff is. A tariff is a tax, plain and simple, and that gets passed down to the consumer. You know, our ability to trade is critical to our success. It adds good American jobs here and allows us just to really be as strong as we can as a company.
It's not just tariffs on products Cummins exports. They're an issue for company leaders. The tariffs on steel and aluminum imports into the U.S. have also raised costs. Although many of the company's factories are located in the U.S., Cummins also has operations in places like India, Europe, and China. But as each production line is specialized, it is both difficult and costly to change the production flow and the supply chain.
Given their international footprint, Cummins say they are well positioned to manage the short-term impact of the various tariffs. But in the long term, if those tariffs remain, the consequences could be more significant.
This plant in Seymour, Indiana, employs around 3,000 people, and Cummins has invested some $300 million into the plant over the last 7 years. but the company is warning job losses are possible if the tariffs remain.
We've had teams really looking at mitigation plans for a while now, so there's a range of options being considered. You know, the longer it drags on, the longer the uncertainty is there. I think it's an issue for not only companies like ours, but other companies, and it does, you know, to some degree stall out on, you know, how you begin to think about investment and growth. So we want to get back to negotiating table. Unilateral tariffs are not the way to achieve the goal. They really end up hurting, you know, workers and farmers and businesses.
Cummins posted record sales and profits for the last quarter. Workers should be feeling confident about the future. Instead, many are concerned about the impact of tariffs and the security of their jobs. Dan Williams, CGTN, Seymour, Indiana.
See, these are the repercussions of American intransigence. These are the blowback effects. 20, 30, 40 years ago, America didn't suffer those blowbacks. She sanctioned you and she thought that was it. And now, in the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period, right? Everything that Elijah Muhammad said would happen is happening. Everything, you go back and wait this show. We presented stuff before it even happened. And then it comes up the next week, sometimes the same day or the next week or the same next month or whatever. This is to let you know that we're in a world that is quickly dying. America is the pillar of that world, and America is crumbling. The structure, the main structure, the weight bearing structure of the house has stress fractures everywhere. And a violent economic wind will cause it to crumble, and then the whole of the entire Anglo world collapses. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at. Let me go to the phone lines real quick before I go back to the clips. I know the time is short. I looked up there. I said, man, every time we do a show, even if it's an hour and a half or 2 hours, seems like as soon as we start really getting into it, look up, the time is almost over. So let me go to the phone lines real quick, and then I'll come back and let you hear what they're saying about how America's spending into oblivion and how her policies are infecting, listen to the words they use, are infecting the world. That sounds like a virus, don't it? Sounds like a disease, isn't it? Because it is, and they are even saying so. So let's go to the phone lines real quick. 424, you're on the website, on the average of Cyberspace Family. I send to you, Assalamu alaikum, my good brother.
Well, Islam, sir, good morning to you, brother, and also your listeners.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Hi. First of all, hold on 1 second. This is Brother Gerald, for everybody who's listening, a good brother, good friend of mine. Brother, I missed you. I called you, but I missed you, but I'm going to give you a call sometime today or tomorrow, my brother. But go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll pray you do it to Allah. As you were saying about the time, brother, you know, God cut the day short for the elect's sake, lest there be no flesh saved, brother. So, you know, he cutting his day in this day and time short for the devil, brother, because, you know, he has, a lot of them have no idea in terms of the time, but the ones who are in the know, they're very wide awake in terms of the time. But as a black man, a black woman, you have to really be in tune with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to understand the time of what's going on, because the devil, he's preparing himself, brother, for this day and time for his fall. And in fact, brother, echoing what you spoke on about the J.P. Morgan article, the Bible says in fifth book of James, it says, go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanted. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he did not resist you. Now, there comes what you spoke on earlier. There's an article in Bloomberg. It's called The Super Rich of Silicon Valley Have a Doomsday Escape Plan. It appears, brother, that the ultra-rich are escaping to New Zealand. It says, wealthy Americans have stepped up investment in New Zealand. Parliament votes to ban foreigners from buying boats, homes. Years of doomsday talk at Silicon Valley dinner parties have turned into action. In recent months, two 150-ton survival bunkers journeyed by land and sea from a Texas warehouse to the shores of New Zealand, where they're buried 11 feet underground. Silicon Valley entrepreneurs have purchased bunkers from Rising S Company and planted them in New Zealand in the past 2 years, said Gary Lynch, the manufacturer's general manager at the first sign of an apocalypse, nuclear war, a killer germ, a French Revolution-style uprising targeting the 1%. Not pertaining to the other, like you said, brother, you know, the hand to their constituents and warning them of what's going on, but they're not directing this to the poor. So obviously, brother, they only looking out for the benefit of their own. It's not a nuclear target. It's not a target of war. It's a place where people seek refuge. But what do you seek the refuge for? Because you see the time of the evil that you have done, and now God is exacting his revenge on you. It goes on to say the remote island nation clinging to southern part of the globe, 2,500 miles off Australia's coast, has 4.8 million people and six times as many sheep. It has a reputation for natural beauty, easy networking, low-key politicians who bike to work, and rental prices half those of San Francisco Bay Area. That makes it an increasingly popular destination, not only for those fretting about impending dystopia, but for tech entrepreneurs seeking incubators, become one of the places for people in Silicon Valley, mostly because it's not Silicon Valley at all, said Reggie Lutke, an American biomedical engineer who's moving to New Zealand in October for the Sir Edmund Hillary Fellowship, a program created to lure tech innovators. Lutke, 37, said people in California have asked him if he's relocating as part of a doomsday contingency plan, because that's what the country is known for. Such notoriety has made New Zealand's isolation, once deemed an economic handicap, one of its biggest assets. The nation allows immigrants to essentially buy residency through investor bias visas, and rich Americans have poured a fortune into the country. Often, billionaire hedge fund honcho Julian Robertson owns a lodge overlooking Lake Waikaukau in Queenstown, the South Island's luxury resort destination. Fidelity National Financial Inc. Chairman Bill Foley has a homestead in Wairarapa region, north of Wellington, and Titanic director James Cameron bought a mansion nearby by Lake Kūnui. The investor visa, which requires a minimum investment of NZD $10 million, $6.7 million over 3 years, attracted 17 U.S. applicants in fiscal 2017 after President Donald Trump's election. Previously, it averaged 6 applicants a year. More than 10 Americans from the West Coast have bought multi-million-dollar properties in the Queenstown region in the past 2 years, said Mark Harris, managing director of the local Sothersby Real Estate Office. In August, partly in response to Americans gobbling up swaths of prime real estate, New Zealand's government banned foreigners from buying homes, with the restrictions set to take effect in coming months. Peter Thiel, the billionaire co-founder of PayPal, ignited an uproar when he was granted citizenship that New Zealand's passports for sale. Thiel, 50 years old, owns a 13.8 million home on 477 acres, 193 hectares, with views of snow-capped mountains, and purchased another property in Queenstown, outfitted with a safe room. If you're the sort of person that says, I'm going to have an alternative plan when Armageddon strikes, then you would pick the farthest location in the safest environment. And that equals New Zealand if you gobble it, if you Google it, pardon me. Former Prime Minister John Key said in a phone interview, it's known as the last bus stop on the planet before you hit Antarctica, he said. I've had a lot of people say to me that they would like to own a property in New Zealand if the world goes to hell in a handbasket. I'll stop there, brother, because it's a relatively long article, but I'll say this. Now, remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Australia and New Zealand would be
I was going to say that. I was going to say that.
Back. Now, I'll leave it with that, brother, and you touch on it. Continue on, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. I was getting ready to go. The brother, he hit you up. Listen, this white man, remember, the devil always, when God announces something, the devil always tried to beat God to do it so he can say that he did it. the white people are running there because that may be New Zealand and Australia and the surrounding little small, they're coming back to the black nation. Well, the whole earth will, but that's going to flip. And as we were taught, that New Zealand could be one of the places that we are temporarily housed. That's why the white man is going there. He ain't dumb. He know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. He's trying to beat us to over there. So, brothers and sisters, it's no coincidence again. In the 60 to, how many coincidences have to happen before you do a recognizing that Elijah Muhammad is telling you the truth? When this white man is trying to build him compounds in New Zealand under the ground. Huh? He sees something coming, and these are ultra-rich people. And they're storing up food, and they have these purifiers and these air distillers in their bunkers, 11 feet, 20 feet, 60 feet underground, because they see something coming. And they're moving their whole family. Some of them have an artificial environment where they have levels of it, housing levels, playing level, food level, farming level. Then they have this look just like the outside. I was looking at some of that stuff. So they're preparing. They're trying to beat prophecy. And they're trying to stick around here. But it won't work because their end has come. Their end has come. They're not going to inhabit New Zealand. They're not going to inhabit Australia. Some of them that survived what's coming are going back to Europe. And they will be bound in like it once was until they die out. They won't be able to reproduce. When they go back there, they won't be able to reproduce. They'll be able to live out the rest of their lives. But they will, see, again, let's go back to something. The reason you have the continent called EU now, EU. Muhammad tells us that the E and U stands for hills and cave sides. All right? And the rope was added as we bound them in to that continent. But remember Satan, after he was released from that pit, he came out having great wrath, for he knew he had but a short time. So he was no longer bound into that. So he removed the rope from it and became the EU again. Remember, 20 years ago, it was Europe. But now it's called the EU. But as this destruction takes place, they will be herded back there and will be bound in there again until there's no more of them. It will no longer be. That's why the EU is having so much trouble trying to hold itself together, because the time is against it. You understand? So they will be roped back in there. It won't be an EU. I hope we're explaining this. Time is of the essence. Listen, because this show is so important, and because I have some clips that I know by the time the next live show comes, there will be some more happenings going on. But we are going to come back to square one and do a part three of this show. We got to do this because there's so many clips that I want to get to add emphasis and oomph to the time and why these things are taking place, and what to expect next, all right? But again, before we go off the air, we're going to go take this short, where this is about an eight-minute clip, okay? We got about 11 minutes, so I'm going to play this eight-minute clip. We're going to come back on the other side of this clip, and then we're going to wrap it up, and then we'll close out, okay? But listen to what Rob Kirby said. We're going to replay this on the next live show to refresh your memory. So pay close attention to what Rob Kirby is saying.
Pleasure to be with you again, Greg.
Let's talk about this $21 trillion. I mean, I just had a former Fed head on, and nothing wrong with her. She's a very nice person and very smart. But her, like a lot of people, I mean, even money managers I know, don't realize there's $21 trillion printed. Extra, additional $21 trillion. This is real money. This is Dr. Mark Skidmore. This is a team of PhD-level people at Michigan State University that came up with this. But most people, and I mean important people around the world, don't realize it's there.
Well, they don't want to believe it, Greg. They don't want to believe that at least $21 trillion extra dollars has been created out of thin air, and it is siloed, and I would have it that it's siloed in dark places like the Exchange Stabilization Fund, the secretive adjunct to the U.S. Treasury, and I would also contend that this enormous cache of dark money is exactly what is used to, let's just say, do dirty tricks, like rig the precious metals market, because that's a very expensive operation to carry out, because on its face, it's not a sustainable sort of thing. And the reason the money has been created, Greg, which I think a lot of people, even who are investigating it, might be failing to recognize. If you look at the work of Chris Martinson, who produced a video series on his site called The Crash Course. And what The Crash Course lays out, Greg, is the life cycle of fiat money with compound interest. And the U.S. fiat dollar is an example of fiat money with compound interest. And what Martinson cleverly lays out in his reporting is that the growth curve of fiat money is, generally speaking, very gently sloping curve upward to the right until it reaches an inflection point. And once that growth curve hits the inflection point, it goes vertical, goes like a hockey stick, and it goes straight up. Well, the people running the U.S. fiat dollar at the Treasury and the Fed, they're very aware of the shortcomings of fiat money because they've studied it and they've modeled it to the nth degree. And they knew years and years ago that they were going to hit a point where the amount of money that had to be put into the system would grow vertically. And this is why they fraudulently created and siloed at least 21 trillion extra dollars. Because this is the money that fuels the vertical growth component of the of the curve in the life cycle of the U.S. fiat dollar. And I find it amazing because many mainline economists have said to me over the years when I've made claims that the only way that this experiment, this Keynesian experiment, the fiat U.S. dollar, the only way it could logically end is in a hyperinflation. And people have said to me many, many times over the years, well, Kirby, where's the money going to come from for this hyperinflation you talk about? Well, the reality is, Greg, the money's already been created. The money has been created and it's been siloed. And the money is being put to use, which by the way, is why America never seems to run out of money. Even if the government gets shut down, the stock market never collapses. U.S. government bond auctions never fail. Because officialdom, or the financial elites, the stewards of our financial system, they have at their disposal tens of trillions of dollars that they can marshal up at a moment's notice to engage and basically carry out any dark act that they wish to do. And amazingly, if you Google the Exchange Stabilization Fund and you read about when it was created in 1934, and when you read about what its mission statement and its purpose for being created was, it was basically to defend the U.S. dollar and to make sure that the U.S. dollar was maintained its position as the key currency in the world. So, I mean, what's occurring and what I've just described is completely and utterly in keeping with the definition of and why the Exchange Stabilization Fund was created in the first place. And, you know, it's amazing how nobody in officialdom, nobody in Washington, and nobody on Wall Street dares talk about the Exchange Stabilization Fund, because basically everything that the fund does is considered to be in the national interest, and hence it's basically considered to be top secret. And talking about things that are top secret or classified in nature makes you about as welcome as Edward Snowden, which is why nobody dares talk about it. And this is what is infecting the world. This is the source, this orgy of money creation, which foreigners are becoming very aware that this has indeed occurred. And this is why foreigners are really acting quite fed up with U.S. dollar hegemony that's being imposed on the world. I mean, as you said in the beginning, we don't know what money supply is.
You said that.
Yeah, but I mean you sorry, Greg, you reiterated that at the beginning of the interview.
All right, but I'm telling you, that's one of those things that you hear, that you say to yourself, oh my gosh, that's the truth.
Sure, but I mean, listen, Greg, in the U.S. experience, the keeper of the monetary aggregate data is the Fed in St. Louis. So they give us reports on money supply, what M1, M2, M3, actually they don't report M3 anymore. You have to go to the likes of John Williams of ShadowStats.com to get anything approaching an accurate M3 tally. But my argument or my point is that it's all garbage because we don't really know what money supply is. Money supply, as reported by the Fed, doesn't include this $21 trillion at least, which we know was created fraudulently. And we know it was created because it went through the books of the Department of Defense and HUD. And that's using the government's own numbers. And it was after.
So, you hear Mr. Kirby, and I'm going to go to the phone lines. We may have to go about 2 or 3 minutes, but I'm going to go to the phone lines in just a second. But you hear how corrupt the system is, how underhanded it is, and how America props up her dollar and economy and keeps the world held hostage to the dollar through brute force and through all kinds of machinations. But listen what it says, Muhammad says. This is the divine judgment to bring vicious America to her knees. Why, Elijah Muhammad? It's because she hated the people of God. See, this is the exposure and all of the corruption that is festering. Allah allowed that. That's why he allowed America to take the world off the gold standard. He wanted to show the world just how corrupt the system is, and how they would choke off their own vomit because they were greedy, arrogant, egotistical, and brute beasts. So Muhammad says, according, talking about the system, he says, we cannot set up a better government for our people by using the corrupt political activities of this people, the arch deceivers. All, not part, not some, not most. The word all encompasses everything. He says, all of their work was based upon deceiving the nation, not to bring them into friendly brotherhood and prosperity for the black man. What did Rob Kirby say? The whole thing is a lie. All of it is, the system is based on a lie. It's predicated on deception and lies. That's what Mr. Kirby was just telling you, wasn't it? Elijah Muhammad said it decades ago, and you called him a racist because you were in love with your oppressor. And now your oppressors, who are feeling the heat, are telling you in layman's terms that Elijah Muhammad did not lie to you. Talk back to your brother, 347-989-0855. Talk back to me. So let's go to the phone line. We have like a minute, but we're going to go over a little bit because I'm going to bring Brother Rashid in. I got to say, assalamu alaikum to my good brother. Brother, I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum, brother. How you doing?
Brother, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Brother, it is a scam. That's all it is. It's a scam.
Yeah.
It is the three-car molly. That's all it is. The American money, he ain't got no money. Once again, money is based upon something that is tangible.
Uh-huh.
Something that is gold, silver, or something. He don't have any of that stuff. All he got is printed up paper.
Yep.
$21 trillion, $221 trillion. Print it all up. Chop down all of the trees that you can find and then put your face on there, and then everybody be so gullible enough to accept your good for a bunch of printed up paper. Slick, brother. Like I used to always say, he's slicking in a grease pig.
Yes, sir.
Get everybody, get your component, your goods and services, all of it, which is 91%, 3% of Walmart stuff come from China?
Yeah.
And he's giving China a bunch of worthless paper for all of their goods and services. But he is slick.
Yeah. Hey, and what makes it more slick, as I was telling the people, that this devil, he'll get all of your resources, all of your goods and services for that paper. And then when you make him mad, he voids the paper and sanctions you.
Yeah, sanction is saying that the money I gave you is no good. You
can't. Yeah. He's a con artist, brother.
You gotta give it to him. He is real slick. He is sharper than a ginsu, baby. The fact is that the only one who can deal with him is the people from Allah's sphere of influence. Other than that, I don't care what assalamu alaikum you got, he can make a fool out of you.
Yep. You got that right. Look how he's making a fool of the whole entire Middle East.
The one that Wallace and his group running around hollering about how great and wise they are, that white man is running circles around. Listen to this, brother. I can't sell any of my friends weapons, but the white man can give all his minions and little flunkies and stuff everything, including the kitchen sink. M15s, fighter jets, Abram tanks. And if I give one of my men a slingshot, look at it, he's giving him a slingshot.
Yeah,
we're gonna sanction you for giving him a slingshot. And they go for that stuff. You follow all of the rules of the UN. Why he follow none of them?
I was just getting ready to say that. Even worse than that, the Muslims go to the UN and look for the people who are the aggressors to pass resolutions against themselves, and then when they realize they're not passing, they become mad and enraged, and then the same people that they went to start bombing Muslim nations. This is crazy. This is absolutely insanity. But, brother, when you don't have divine light in your mind and in your head, you know, what else can you expect?
To show you how wise the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he got the once dumb slave who couldn't see nobody. What the devil said, he blinded us. We can see what them so-called wise people over there can't see now. The power of Elijah Muhammad's God is incredible.
Yes, sir.
A dead man from and give him life. Not Jesus and Lazarus. Today, Jesus. And today's Lazarus, the so-called American Negro, who is really the dead man, he gave us wisdom. We can see the whole world when the rest of the people can't see nobody. The white man can make a fool out of everybody. I'm going to give you a bunch of worthless paper, and you're going to give me all your good. If that ain't making a fool out of you, I don't know what is. Salaam alaikum, Black.
Well, alaikum salam. Yes, sir, my brother. And this is what I said. We're going to go off there in just a second, but I have to follow that poem. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to open your eyes. We're trying to go to the root of the matter so that you can look at this stuff as it really is, not the way they're presenting it to you, because they're liars by nature. We're giving it to you in a theological way so that you can understand the process of prophecy and what is to take place and how God will and is bringing this world to his knees. Brothers and sisters, listen to me good. If I were you, I would make my way with the apostle before it's too late. I ain't talking about these false apostles, Gino Jennings, Bishop Jakes, all of this stuff here. I'm talking about the last and the greatest apostles of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the world. No for a surety that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life, but the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all holy praises are due forever, and his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty Nation of Islam has for you. Please go to the website and donate. Brothers and sisters, until we speak again, stay strong, stay true. But above all things, stay righteous. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God lifts you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day, the roads we take.